Amen, amen. All right, y'all. We got a couple announcements for you. So starting off next Sunday, we have two great things coming up. We have our baby dedication service, which you can still register on there. So make sure if you haven't registered for that yet, you do it on the Church Center app. And then along with that, on the same day, we are doing our youth fundraiser as well next week. Hoping to get every kid to camp. We are believing God for $5,000 over two fundraisers that we're doing. And that will send every kid to camp with goodies, all right? And that's what we are believing God for. So I want to encourage you next week, come over to the Red Room. There's going to be a bunch of youth kids harassing you with signs right after service next week. So you won't be able to miss it, I promise. They're going to direct you right to where it is. So if you would be a part and partner with us sending our kids to camp, we'd love to have you come out to the Youth Red Room after service next week. And you're going to get yourself a delicious premium coffee or smoothie. They really do like an incredible job. These are people who used to work at all these your favorite coffee places. They're over there now, okay? They're with us. So I promise you're helping support an amazing cause, but you're also getting like an amazing product in return. Amen? And then also I want to invite all you young adults 18 to 30. This Friday we're having our young adults meetup. That's going to be over in the Red Room at 6:30, and that's going to be for this upcoming Friday. I'm going to invite two folks up to share an announcement one at a time. So could I please have Mr. Paul? Come on up. Give it up for Paul as he makes his way. You're supposed to keep it up until he gets here, but it's all right. That's all right. There we go.
It's a long give up. It's a long give up. Okay, I'm up here to make an announcement for the men's Bible study that's coming up. Also want to say that our recent Bible study, the Olivet Discourse, has just been completed by all the guys. They gave us a detailed look at understanding soteriology, eschatology, theology, all the ologies of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and he tells us of the incredible prophecies he immediately had to fulfill and had to do on his to-do list, and there are many to come. So it was a great study, which I've been a student of also. A lot of things I learned along the way, and I learned right along with the guys and enjoyed learning it. Understanding God's word is, as we learn many, many things, we studied the depths of the end times events that have been and are currently in. We covered the details of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. We also fully understand the 70th week prophecy now that tells us all about the tribulation, the abomination of desolation, and the great final tribulation periods of time. We studied the Antichrist. So we got a heads up into Pastor Pam's teaching, his minions and his boss. We understand the game plan of the evil realm from what is written and what is told from Jesus, and we are prepared just in case. So, you know, there's a lot of Christian counterfeit words out there that we have to be aware of, and we learned about that also. Banks teach their people to find counterfeit dollars by dealing with the real thing. Amen. So by dealing with the real thing in the Word, we're making sure that we know when, you know, false prophets come along and stuff. So that's what our guys are sitting there learning and know the difference between the two. I mentioned previous preparation because the final word in the Word is, "Surely I am coming quickly," Revelation 22:20. Is about the subject matter, and with that knowledge, I believe that these men are prepared for this time. And I can say with certainty that the men of this church stand and support God in unity to provide the structure to its foundation, and I believe in that wholeheartedly with these guys. We may not say much, but that says a lot. And I want to acknowledge all these guys that have sat through the meetings and that did it online and did it in remotely. I hope you enjoyed the study, and I hope that this provided some puzzle pieces for you to, put more of the story of Jesus together and where we're going with this world. So, for the new study, we're going to be doing the Gospel of John, which is the book of John is probably one of my favorites because it reintroduced me back to God, brought me back to the Word, brought me back to church, brought me back to everything that I needed. So, we're going to learn about the man in the way that we never knew of any other writing. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are more of a formatted matter, where John's words are more of a loving, caring, feeling admiration of Jesus. And I think that the guys are going to get a lot out of this. The Gospel of John is a great new beginning for new Christians to be introduced to Jesus. So if you have anybody that wants to be introduced to Jesus, tell them about this. It's also a great place for experienced Christians to learn more about their God. So this is his story. I hope you'll join us for this. The sign-up sheet is in the lobby. If your name was already in the past one, your name is already on there, just check the box if you want to stay. If you don't, cross your name off. Yeah. We'll see you next one. Thank you, Cameron.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Paul. And I'd like to now invite Miss Marilyn, if she would come on up and give it up for Miss Marilyn until she makes her way up, remember. And there you go.
Thank you. Hi, good morning. Good morning. Got to get my bullet points up here. So I want to talk for just a minute about the guardians, equipping the guardians of innocence. I'm going to do this in brevity, but there is a video announcement. It's on the CAT bulletin. You can use the QR code out at the CAT desk to access that. Maybe I don't know if Greg can put up there. This is the flyer, and that's the RSVP QR code. We're a QR code church. but anyway, we want to make it easy for you to access all the information you need. But I just want to give you a quick overview. Equipping the guardians of innocence is about safeguarding our children. In the first hour, the Stockton Family Justice Center is going to be coming and giving a presentation. And in that presentation, you will learn how traffickers operate, especially through social media. You'll learn the methodologies, the grooming process of children, and subtle indicators to watch for. You'll learn about the services and resources they provide to trafficking business and how they partner with the city of Stockton and the task force that's in place to help. You know, God is doing some stuff, and we're excited to learn about it. It's important. This is really important. This is to help parents to identify, because they start grooming children. They start combing social media and looking for victims at 12 years old to get these kids into trafficking. So this information is really helpful for parents to watch out for and be aware of. Then in the second hour, we are going to address the disturbing trend of the sexually explicit books that are both now in the school libraries and public libraries that are recommended by the state of California. You'll become familiar with those book titles and their content. You'll understand the impact on children and families. We'll offer practical, non-confrontational ways for you to address these issues and understand the business plan of pornography. Most of us here know that there is a specific agenda to target our children and dismantle the traditional family. But this is also big business, and that'll become clear to you at this event. We want to do this because, you know, the Bible says for us to not be ignorant of the schemes of the enemy. And he also says that, you know, the Bible says that with lack of knowledge, people perish. We often get checks from the Holy Spirit, and you know, things will bother our spirits, and we, you know, but when we have the knowledge that go along with this, oftentimes we dismiss those checks with rationalization. And when you have the knowledge base that goes along with this, it'll help you It'll help you respond to the Holy Spirit in a more powerful way. This education also will help you be more aware of your surroundings when you go out in the community. It will help you identify things. The Holy Spirit can speak to you in ways that he couldn't before because of this knowledge base. So that's why we want to do this. We want to equip you. It will also foster boldness. We pray for that, but how does it happen? You know, when we have that knowledge and we have that surety, of course it begins with the Word of God. But this is a practical way to put that Word into practice. So that's what this event is all about. Once again, this is on the CAP bulletin. You can actually grab that the flyer off the bulletin, or there's one out there to share with your friends. I do ask you that you do not share it on social media. We don't want to bring attention to the, you know, the perpetrators out there on social media of this event. So please don't do that. And then just really quickly, this is a time sensitive. I got permission from Pastor Greg. The Board of Supervisors, the answered prayer was that the Board of Supervisors created an election advisory committee. That election advisory committee approved a letter to President Trump and to Gavin Newsom requesting that every person who votes both be verified as a citizen of the United States and also have a voter ID. We sent out those letters. We were so thankful that this was accomplished. It was an answer to prayer. But, one of the senators, I guess I just probably shouldn't mention names, but sent a scathing letter to the Board of Supervisors telling them they violated the Brown Act. They gathered a bunch of people to the last EAC meeting and brought people that were venomous in their comments. It was just ugly. So what we want to do, the Board of Supervisors meeting is on Tuesday, and then our CRA meeting is also on Tuesday, which Steve Ding will be the speaker at. We just want to write a thank you. Thanking the Board of Supervisors for doing this, letting them know that they have constituents out there that approve of this message. We have already written a thank you note for you, so you don't even have to think of what to write. And there are thank you cards out there at the desk. If you could just take a minute, grab a thank you card, write it out. We will deliver it to the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday or to Steve Ding himself on Tuesday night. We just want to say, you know, hey, there's people out there that are not combative that really thank you for listening to us. So I appreciate you, your attention, and for giving me the time to spend on this announcement and for all your participation.
All right, thank you. And then junior high kids, if you want to make your way to the back with Isaac and with Brandon, we'll go ahead and dismiss, and then Pastor will come.
Amen. Amen. We'll do that. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. Everybody say thank God for the announcements. We have all things, and, you know, when you get bulletin things, they're there. Hey, anyways, right before we get to, I come in and preach to you here, Miss Yolanda, who's been in the hospital for a while, we've been praying for her, believing God, and she's here this morning. You know, I want to, and I praise God for her. You know, she's one of the toughest ladies I know. I mean, she's amazing. She's got, you know, cats have 9 lives. She has 25, okay? And so I'm going to, she just wants to share and say thank you, but thank you for all for praying, but also just share a few things. Come here. So Sam, this is all on, so you got this. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to thank God because he's the one that just always pulls me out. And I want to thank everyone for their prayers, for their visitation at the hospital. I've never, ever had that many people come to the hospital to visit, but it was awesome. It was awesome. It just made me feel that I was in church. But anyway, I just want to share this. It's so important because I want to give the Lord the honor and the glory. Well, the enemy thought he had me because I was in bed. I was in the hospital. I was very sick. I was almost dying. But he forgot one thing, that I had a mouth. He didn't get my mouth. So I witnessed to everybody in there, nurses, doctors, whatever, The lady that was doing my sonogram on my stomach, I witnessed to her, and I asked her if she wanted to come to the Lord, and she said yes. So while she was doing that, I was leading her to the Lord. So I said, praise God, it's your honor, your glory, Lord, that how, I mean, I didn't care if I was sick, I didn't care if I had pain, but you know what? My Lord came through, no matter where I was, how I was, he came through. He used me in a mighty way. And there was like maybe five nurses that came to me, they wanted prayer. And I said, here, I'm laying in bed needing prayer, and the nurses need prayer. I go, this is God. This is God, you know? That's God. He's an awesome God. He's the one that does all that. I have to give him the honor, the glory, the praise, everything, because it's him. It's him. And I thank him that he used me no matter where I'm at. I am willing to be used. As long as you're willing to be used and as long as you open your mouth, he'll put the words in there. He'll put the words in there. I don't care where you're at. And that devil didn't win. I had the victory. God had the victory. We all have the victory. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Amen. God is good. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, one more announcement. Just to let you know, the class is still on tonight. And at 5:30. And so Pastor Pamela will be dealing with actually subject of fear, which is something you always got to deal with when the enemy's trying to attack. Amen. How many of you know that's his number one tactic to all of us is to get us in fear, to get us all messed up, get us afraid that this won't happen, that won't happen. Hallelujah. But thank God that God's word is so. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. The Lord's just been sharing and dealing with my heart recently about a lot of things, but mainly about prayer and about asking him to do some things. You know, the prayer is praying for things, but it's also praying against things. It's also standing in the gap. Amen? It's not just for and it's not just about, but sometimes you got to understand that it's against, but it is for, it's for things that we have need of. And the reason that he stirs up our heart along those lines, you know why he does? Is because he wants to move. And so, Greg's going to ask me what my title is. So I'm going to say it this way is that, and then of course he can use AI and make it look prettier or whatever. But anyways, basically it's this, he wants to move. So in that sense is that God wants to move, but the only way God can move on the earth is that he gets somebody to cooperate with him. He gets you and me to hear what he has to say, and so then we say it and we pray and we begin to ask him to do it even though he wants to do it. Because God can't override the enemy. He can't just come down and do anything he wants to because He's bound by his word, and he made Adam the god of this world. And when Adam sold out to Satan, Satan became the god of this world. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says. Satan, who is the god of this world, hath blinded the eyes of those people. Amen. It's blinded the eyes of the world that's out here. You know that the world's eyes are blinded, right? They are tremendous. They're just blinded. They don't know why they do the things that they do. But since Satan became the god of this world through Adam's sin, God can't do anything until his lease runs out. But thank God, God can do everything through you and I. Amen. Amen. Jesus came. He took the keys of death and hell from Satan. He defeated him. He brought him to nothing, hallelujah, so that we could rule and reign over him. Amen. So thank God, all he has is his lies. All he has is the things he's trying to do is to get you to believe him. And number one, he has his fear. He's trying to get you into fear. And he wants to keep your mouth shut. I love what Miss Yolanda said. He didn't get my mouth. Amen? And thank God that faith is in your mouth and in your heart. Amen. That's the word of faith. Amen. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Things change. So sometimes we just have to put ourselves in remembrance. We got to put ourselves in remembrance and not get tired of asking, not get tired of praying against, not get tired of praying, not get tired of fellowshipping with God, because God's desire is to do supernaturally in our lives. I mean, you know, he's turning it up because he knows he's about to send Jesus for his church, for his bride. Amen. He's about to stir this thing up. The devil knows his time is short. That's why he's stirring things up. We see all the things that are happening in the end times. And we see this. We see that, man, we are living in the end of the end of the end. I mean, if Peter said on the day of Pentecost, we're in the last days, you know, over 2,000 years ago, don't you think we're in about the last of the last days? We're at least a little farther than we have been. Amen. You'll agree with me there, right? But I'm, you know, many times we get weary in well-doing and we don't really know what God's word is declaring for us. And we think, well, is God doing anything? But I got news for you. God's working. And God wants us to continue to pray. He wants us to continue to ask. He wants us to continue to believe. He wants us to stir up and begin to believe and to see the answers to our prayers. Amen? Yes. Paul told Timothy, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. So there's a fight. Most people don't like that. They just want it to be easy. I will if it's easy. Yeah, because I always tell people, hey, will you do something? Yeah, well, I will if it's easy. You know, how many know some things may not be easy, praise God, but they're worth it. Yeah. Amen? And so I'm going to read you a bunch of scriptures this morning because I want to stir your heart up to believe because God wants to do something. If he's telling me and talking to me about things, he's talking to me about, hey, I want to move, but I've got to get my word in people's mouth. I've got to get what I want to get in their mouth so they can speak it out. Amen? So that it gives me the opportunity to move in their life. See, God wants to move in your life. He doesn't just want to move in the earth. He wants to move in your life. How many know it does you a world of good to realize when you get your prayers answered? Amen? You know, it's kind of funny because I remember this story and it just keeps coming up in my head. But, you know, way back when if you remember the show Happy Days, that dates me and everything else. But Happy Day was there. And Fonzie's talking to Richie and he's like, and Richie's trying to be this really tough guy because this guy's going to, you know, pound him up, beat him up. And he said, well, what's going on, Fonzie? He said, well, Richie, he's, you know, because Fonzie said, you got Richie, you got to be tough. You got to do all this. And he's trying to be this person that he's really not. And Richie says, Fonzie, what's going on? He said, well, he's just standing there pounding his fist. He says, why isn't it working? I'm trying to act tough. Why isn't what I'm doing working? He said, well, the problem is you have had to hit somebody first. And they know you ain't never hit nobody. And you ain't never been in a fight. So you're about to get beat up. You know? And see, the key is when you get into the prayer fight or you get into praying and coming in the fight of faith and things, you've got to take some punches. But glory to God, you win. You may be knocked down, but you're not knocked out. Amen? There may, because it ain't over till you win. It ain't over till you receive the end of your faith. Amen? So we need to, but we, the way that we fight is with the Word of God. The way that we fight is with the Spirit of God. Amen? So here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, in the King James Version, it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receiveth, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open. For what man is there, you know, of you whom, if his son asks for bread, will he give him some, you know, a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I'm going to read that to you, you know. You know, when we realize this in the Amplified Bible says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I mean, you know that many times we have a tendency, I do that for my own self, is that, God, I don't want to bother you. I'm just trying not to bother you. I mean, you know, God loves to be bothered. Amen. God loves to be bothered. Amen? And now if you want to turn in your Bibles, you can do this, but I've got it all written down here, so I'm going to go pretty fast because we had a lot of announcements. So we're going to get this done. I like to get you out. Hallelujah. Those things there. But in John chapter 15 and verse 7 and in verse 16, he said this. He said, but if you abide in me, or if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and to produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Amen. Now I read that out of the New Living, but the King James says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you of my Father, which is in heaven. It goes on in verse 16 and says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Man, I love that. Aren't you glad that you think you chose Jesus, but he didn't. He chose you. The Bible says you couldn't have come to him unless the Holy Spirit drew you. Hey, God wanted you, and he wanted you as his children, and he wants to do all the things that a father does to their child. Amen? He's the best father in the world. He loves you. He wants to answer. He wants to give you all of your heart's desires. He wants to do the things, but he also knows he's not going to just give you cotton candy. You know, he's not just going to give you ice cream and cake, okay? He's going to make you eat some spinach. He's going to make you eat some green beans. He's going to make you have some food, some substance, the things that you can have that you're not going to like, but they're going to be healthy for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to pray with all manner of prayer, that we need to have all of the counsel of God, all the things that God has for us. Amen? Here over in James chapter 5 and verse 16, he told us that if we would confess, hallelujah, our faults, our slips, and all of the things to them, you know, because when it's talking about it in the King James, but I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified because I really like it. He says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, and your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also one for another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. I like that. I like that. You know, I mean, the King James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But the Amplified says the continued, earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Amen. I mean, you know, God's desiring to use you and me that your prayers do work. Amen. I mean, you know, you got to acknowledge that my prayers work. That they do, that God hears and answers. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Amen? If we know that God hears us because we prayed his word. See, one of the greatest things about prayer is God gets his word in us, then he wants us to get his word out of us so that it's out in the atmosphere so he has something to work with in your life to defeat the enemy in. Amen? That's why when you got words being spoken against you, when you got things coming against you and against your job, and people are bringing accusations, thank God for Isaiah 54:17. There's no weapon formed against me that can prosper. And every tongue that rises up in judgment against me, I get to condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. God's going to fight my battle. God's going to fight my battle. God's going to take hold of it. Glory to God. I take authority over those words that have been spoken. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the lies of the enemy shall cease. And the enemy is using people. So those lies that they're speaking have to cease. Amen. Hallelujah. Because for God to work in it, you got to get God's word on it. Amen. And the more word that you have, the faster it works. Amen. I mean, let me read this to you out of the Amplified here. We may just get scripture. We may not even get into my notes. Look at this scripture. John 14, 13 and 14 says this out of the Amplified. This is awesome. He says this. He says, and I will, this is Jesus talking, and I will do, that means I myself will grant, whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Yes, I will grant, I myself will do it for you. Whatever you ask in my name, presenting all that I am. Amen. Yeah, no, the King James says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That's the short version. The Amplified Bible, it says all that Jesus is, all that he has, all that he wants to do. Amen? God wants to help you. He wants to work with you. Aren't you glad that you're not by yourself? That's why he said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or the earnest heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its work. Means God says in Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it, and it will prosper. But before that, he said, it will not return unto me void. There has to be a fulfillment of my word. There's a fulfillment that needs to take place. That's why when you're praying and you take the word of God, it's powerful. It's supernatural. It changes everything. Why? Because God and Jesus stand behind it. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, glory to God, we have an assurance. We have this supernatural thought process of saying, glory to God. Jesus said, hallelujah, there, and saying, listen, if you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. Man, that's an amazing, amazing thing. I mean, it just kind of blows our mind in a lot of ways because we can't hardly grab a hold of that. But I'm so glad I got faith. I'm so glad that God's word is bigger than my brain. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad God's smarter than I am. I'm so glad he didn't say you have to understand it, you have to know it all in order to receive it. He said, no, you just got to believe it. I don't have to know how it works. I don't have to care how it works. All I have to do is believe it. See, that's why when John Wesley made this statement, he said, it seems that God can do nothing for humanity unless somebody asks him. Amen. James says we have not because we ask not. He also said we have not because we ask amiss. Means we ask to consume it on our own lust. We're just doing things. We don't have God's word on the subject of those things. And so when that happens, it kind of messes everything else that happens in us. And yet God said, I still want you to ask. I still want you to ask. Amen. Go with me if you would over to Hebrews chapter 4. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. We're going to bypass a whole bunch of notes here and jump over to page whatever, okay? It never bothers me to bypass because I know God's got it. His note-taking is better than my note-taking all the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. One thing I found out, if I've got a desire to do something, and when there's a desire in my heart, when it comes to the word of God, when it comes to like when God's saying, listen, I want you to pray. And he's just stirring me up about prayer and about asking and just leading me along these lines when I'm reading the word of God. And just seems like it's what I get all excited because what that means is God wants me to pray out something he wants to do in my life. He wants to do at Harvest Bible. He wants to do things. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what is it that I need to do? We need to do here. What is it I need to say? God, what do I need to say? What word do you want me to speak out, speak forth, speak life? Amen. See, many times we think, well, God's stirring us. I don't know why I'm thinking about this. Well, you're thinking about it because God says you need it. Now, only if it's good. If it's bad, that's just the enemy. He's wanting to get the same principle. You know, Satan has nothing new. He only operates the way God operates in that he's wanting to put fear in you. He's wanting to put bad thoughts in you. He's wanting to put and he's wanting to get you to act on what he's saying. God puts good thoughts in you. God puts his word in you. God tells, hey, let's do this because God wants to get you to act on what he's telling you. And there's two people vying for your attention and you got to decide which one you're going to listen to. Amen. I mean, you know, it's just as easy to think faith thoughts as it is doubt thoughts. It's just as easy to speak faith words as it is doubt words or, you know, discouragement. It's just as easy. It takes the same breath, same effort to say something positive as it does to say something negative. You know? I always tell people you have to have the thumper theology. How many ever watched Bambi? Those of you know who Bambi is. Just in this generation, don't even know who Bambi is. But Thumper was the rabbit. You remember? And he was always, it says, yeah, I know. What does he say? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. See, why was he called Thumper? Because he just thumped his leg. He says, he's a rabbit, okay? I like little sayings because they remind me, listen, you better straighten up. You better act in accordance to what I'm telling you to do. Amen? Thank God. But look what he says here. Look what he says. I want you to share. Listen, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, I mean, wow. Actually, look at verse 12 just because you need a little extra boost here. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Such an incredible verse there. Just a little bit, you got to understand, it's the word of God is the only thing that can divide between your soul and your spirit. That means you people in the world can be, they're trying to intellectually, because your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So they're going to make a really good point. Look at this. Let's look at the facts. Look at all these things. Look at it. And they're going to make a really good case in the natural, in the soulish realm, in your mind. Look how great it is. You need to believe this. But the word of God says, no, is what the word of God says. It separates from life and death. Even though what they're saying makes sense, seems good, seems great, but it's not right. Amen. And the only thing that's going to hold you steady is the word of God. Amen. Now jump down to verse 16. He says this, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Let us come boldly. You know, talked about boldness. And it's amazing when you look this up and you look this up in the Greek and you look these things and you say, wow, that's a pretty interesting word. Because that word boldly, when you look that up, man, that depicts a person who comes in and just unloads their mind on you, speaks their mind, and is blunt, outspoken, has a little boldness and some confidence in them. How many of the time we go to God and we go, oh Lord, I know I don't deserve anything. I don't know. I know I don't want to bother you anyway. But you know, I need some things here. And it's happening. I really need some help in this area. Let's read it again. Therefore, let us come boldly. And here's the funny thing about it. This word gives you God does not mind when you come in and really are stupid in front of him. Amen. You don't have to be afraid if you're too frank, too bold, too wrong, too stupid, because he's going to fix you. Amen. You know, I don't know how hard he's going to slap you, but it needs to be. It needs to be good. Because here's the thing. If you come with him, you thinking that what you're saying is right, or you come speaking because you're really coming and saying, God, you know, hey, because I know I've come to God and said, God, this stinks. This is not right. Everything I'm going through is wrong. It's not of you. What's going on? Where are you? Now, I know none of you ever would do that with God. You get in big trouble. You guys never get upset. I don't ever get mad at him. I'm just coming at him and say, listen, I think I got it right here. And of course, he always tells me I don't. And it's awesome because I love him. I come with fear and reverence into him. But there are times when I come in and I say, okay, God, what in the heck is going on with this? You know, and the Lord is like, the wonderful thing about this word too is he's not going to rebuke you for telling them what you think. Because if you're wrong, he's just going to take the word and fix you. He's going to fix your wrong believing. He's going to fix your wrong thinking. He's going to fix all these things. He's just excited that you actually showed up for one time. He got to hear your voice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He's just excited that you decided to come fight. He's like, yes. He finally got tired. He got tired. I remember this story that John Osteen told, and he told us about himself. He said, I can just see Jesus and God having this conversation. And he said, because I'm down here getting beat up by the devil, getting beat up. And Jesus going, shouldn't we go help him? I mean, he goes, and God said, no, he's going to finally get tired one of these days and get tired of getting knocked around and turn around and say, okay, enough's enough. And then when he says that and he turns around and wants to do what the word says, then we'll go help him. But he's got to ask us. He needs help. We know he needs help, but we can't do anything till he asks. Well, God knows I need this, so he should just do it. Nope. God's a perfect gentleman. He won't do anything unless you ask him. And you got to ask him in faith. Amen. Now look what it says here again. It says, you know, here's what it goes on to say here in this verse. He said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to obtain it. That word obtain simply means we got to take hold of it. We got to seize it. We got to grab it. It means that here's what we're going to do. But here's the thing about it is that we grab hold of it. But also that word means this, is that it's got two meanings, which is kind of unique, because one is you got to fight for it. And the other one is you just receive it nice and easy. How many know sometimes you're praying and it's so precious, it's so, and God just speaks to you and you can just receive it so easy. How many know other times, because you're struggling, because you're dealing with things, because your life is chaos, you're going to have to fight for some things. It's the same word. You just got to say, all right, I'm going to lay hold, and I need some mercy here. I'm going to grab this thing, and I'm not going to let go. There are other times where, man, I can just receive. What he's, I receive it. It's easy. It's nice. And see, when you're struggling and going through chaos, you get mad at the time where this other person looks like it's just so easy for them to believe. They ain't got no problems. Well, they're just at that season where I'm going to receive. Same word, same thing, same thing. They've gone to the same place. It's just that it's, ooh, I'm going to receive this. Nice. And you're over here like, man, I got to hang on to this. I got to seize this thing. I got to fight for it. Amen. We get all excited and we're upset. We get mad at everybody else. Say, nah, you're going to get the same results if you hang on. You know? Here's the thing. I wrote this down like this. You know, the truth is that Jesus really is willing to simply give us what we need for us to just receive it with an open heart and no problem. But if everything around you is pushing and pulling you in different directions, it's going to take a deliberate act of faith on your part to shove that pressure out of the way and reach out in faith and lay hold on the mercy that Jesus offers. It's not Jesus who's withholding. It's not God that's withholding. You've got an enemy arrayed against you that's trying to stop you from hanging on to it. It's trying to stop you from hanging on to your grip. Your grip on God is your faith and to believe and to hang on to that so that you can obtain mercy. He told us to come boldly. He said, man, come in there full force and share your heart. Come in full force, but get the mercy and hang on to it. Or get the, and or if you're coming in repenting, then receive that mercy. Take hold of it. Because God's desire is that relationship with you. God is wanting to do something supernatural in our lives. And when I say supernatural, I mean something that's greater than beyond what you could even ask or think. He wants to do some things that it takes God to do to where you know, God did it. God did it. And when you know it's God, and you're like, wow, thank you, Father. Only you could have done that. It can only be a God thing. Isn't that awesome? God does it. God does it here. You're kind of like, yes, 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 yes. Praise God. I want this. It's like, whoa, this is awesome. Now let's keep reading. He said, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Oh, I love that. 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 Hallelujah. Because how many of you know sometimes you got to search to find? Amen. I mean, if you've ever lost something and you finally found it after hours of searching, you know, thank God for the Holy Spirit who helps you. If you ask him, he can shorten that time. But amen. You know, hallelujah. But this word find actually in the Greek means this too. It means that it actually shares that you actually will find it. It's not, he's not withholding it. You will find it. Amen. And so, but also it tells that you may have to search for it. You may have to do some intensely investigating. You may have to really look for it. You may have to study about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, it's something that you're designed, but you're going to find grace. which is God's ability to do anything you need. See, we go boldly into the throne room of grace and we obtain mercy, amen, to find grace, to find the ability to whatever it is that we need to do, that we God gives that to us. He enables us with that, and it's so wonderful because it simply says, praise God, God's going to do that. He's going to bring it to us, hallelujah, exactly what we need from him. Amen? He's going to give us exactly, you know. And so one of the things too, though, the Lord just told me this. He reminded me of several stories of back. And I like that because when he reminds me of things, he reminds me about how we let the enemy steal the end of our prayer. We let the enemy steal from us because we don't stay intently asking and seeking and finding and knocking until we have the end of our faith. We know that the end of our faith is our salvation when we go to be with Jesus. But right now, it's receiving the outcome. It's amazing how many people stop and say, well, that's good enough. I think I got my prayer answered. I think I did. I think that's good enough. I think that's about all God's going to give me. I see I hit a nerve on that one. I hit a nerve on that one because that's for a lot of us have, we got the blade. Then we got the ear, but we don't have the full corn, you know, the full corn in the ear. We're not tasting and seeing that the Lord, we're not getting the full outcome of our prayers. We're not getting the harvest. We're not getting these things because we're not continually still staying in it until. People say, well, what do you mean until? Until you receive the, until you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that he did answer. Amen. That we see things happen. Just because we see it, you know, doesn't mean it's finished yet. But if we see it and we act in faith, amen. Amen. See, if we see something and we're believers, when we see it, we got to act in faith, receiving. We got to rejoice with the small things. We got to rejoice. Remember, Elisha's up there, you know, Elijah's up there praying on the Mount Carmel. He's praying and he sends his servant seven times, you remember? To go see it, to see if it's going to rain. He did. The seventh time he comes back and says, hey, guess what? All I see is a little bitty cloud out there about the size of a man's hand. Elijah jumps up and says, go tell King Ahab he better get his chariot together because it's about to rain. He said, wait a minute. We just see a little cloud. It's not, you don't know rain. It's a little cloud. It's this big. When you see a white puffy cloud out there, you don't say, hey, everybody better run. It's going to rain. Amen. But he got up, he declared, why? Because that's what he saw. He immediately said, no, we're doing it. God's changed. We're doing this. So that's one of the biggest problems too, though, is that we see, oh, I see the hand. Okay, let's keep praying. You see, okay, well, hang on. I'm going to send you out there again because this is not enough. Because, I mean, what's that? What is that? God starts to do something. All of a sudden, something supernatural happens, or God starts to meet the need. God starts the healing process. God starts the delivering process. God starts something. Okay, let's keep praying. No, it's time to start believing. It's time to start acting. It's time to start speaking. It's time to start doing. Amen. Hallelujah. And lay hold. Because you're going to come boldly. God's going to give it. He's going to sow things into your life. He's going to give. When we see change, man, take hold of it. Take hold of that. That doesn't mean you just take hold of it and then your prayer changes. Because the process has begun. Amen. It's funny because he said this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Now look at the last one, to help, that we may find grace to help in time of need. Now we could take a census this morning and say, how many are in need? All of us could probably raise our hands in need of something. You know, we're in need. What in the heck does that mean? We're in need, you know, and glory to God. And it's amazing, you know, in the King James Version, it's the way they interpret it, which is really, in one sense, really good. But in this thing here, when it says help in time of need, believe it or not, it gives the connotation that it's, if we see one of our comrades, one of our brethren that's in need, that actually has been captured by the other people of the other army, that we're going to do everything we can do to get them out of that, that we're going to come and all of our armed forces, that everything we do, we're going to come and we're going to deliver them out of it. And if God said, if you'll come into my throne boldly and you come into this, that so you may obtain help in time of need, which means I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight your battles for you. I'm going to rise up as the conqueror. I'm going to rise up, Jesus, and through the Apostle Paul is sharing. It's like all of a sudden, glory to God, if we can go in there and get God to fight our battles and God to start coming forth by the power of the Holy Spirit, that changes everything. I'm not fighting alone. I'm not standing alone. Glory to God. Jesus is going to come and fight with me. The Holy Spirit's going to strengthen me. And I'm looking back and watching Jesus's life. He never lost a fight. So if he's going to come to the fight, woo, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Amen. I'm going to win. And as we see that, it changes everything. It changes my whole perspective. Amen. It changes everything. He wants us to be. He wants us to come. He wants us to have this. He's with us. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, I'm going to come with you. Let's go fight this together. Amen. Now, isn't that amazing? I mean, that is something really, really cool. See, we have a tendency to think that we're going to try to fight our prayers or we're going to get our prayers answered on our own. No, God wants to do that. God's desires for that. It's just learning how to flow with him, learning how to walk with him, learning how to, that when you see and know, God's doing it. God's moving. God's doing it. And the reason God's having me say this is because God wants to do this in my life. God wants to do this in somebody else's life. See, if God's laying somebody else on your heart, and about it, then you want to pray and you say, God, how do I pray effectively? What's going on? How do I do that? Because God wants to intervene in them. God doesn't want them going in the direction they're going. God wants you to be praying so God can send laborers across their path, or God can turn them around. God can stop some things here. God can turn it around. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And change the course. Awesome. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because God doesn't want them. There may be things that are bombarding, and they may be under such a heavy load that he's needing somebody to help them carry it. He's needing somebody to help them break that band around them so they get their eyes can be open. They can see that the enemy's been lying to them. We need the body of Christ. Like I said, it's not only praying for something, it's praying against something, praying for some. It's so amazing. Our relationship with God is so awesome. If you're bored as a Christian, you haven't fellowship with God at all. I mean, he just constantly, of course, yeah, I'm a pastor. I have all of you to pray for and have all of you that God speaks to my heart. But, and no matter what, I'm always praying. God says, do this for this. And so the thing is that if you're yielded and you're ready and you're sensitive, man, bam, God will show you things. Because looking for people, because God loves us all. He wants to get people to help. But then also he'll start speaking to you about, hey, you need to speak this out. You need to say this because I want to get this in your life. Amen. And one of the things too is that if I was to come and say, okay, what is it that is the desire of your heart? What is the one thing, if God can answer one prayer, one thing right now, what is it? And many of you would have to think. Because one of the biggest problems about prayer is that we never decide exactly what we really want. Okay, I'm going to come to God. Wait a minute, I'm just praying. So what are you praying about? I'm just praying. What do you mean you're just praying? Now, it's cool if you say, I'm just fellowshipping with the Father. I'm just praising him. I'm just worshiping. I'm just loving my Father. I'm just hanging around the throne. Awesome. And if you've never done that, God bless you. That's so awesome. Just to worship him for an hour. Worship, praise him, magnify the Lord. It's so good. Hallelujah. Because you just fellowship with him. That's good. That's good. That's not bad. But the thing of it is, if you worship and you praise the Lord and you magnify him, you will ask. He will give you assignments. Because if you get into the presence of God, you will be changed. Someone says, well, I really have never been there. It's because you haven't stayed there long enough. And then some of the reasons we don't like going to God is because we really haven't decided what we want. Say, Holy Ghost, I want you to move. Well, what does that mean? God, do what only you can do. What does that mean? We got a lot of church terminology, and the world comes in and goes, they're all just crazy. They say things like this, they do things, you know, what is it that you want God to do? What is that you're asking God to do? What is it you're specifically desiring for what God is? The Bible really deals with, if we'll be specific, glory to God, how that things will begin to unload and be unveiled, not really unload, but unveiled to us so that we can say, God is in this. God's doing it. You know, we need to be specific to be more effective in the things that he has. So we have to decide what we want. Amen? Hallelujah. And then when we decide, we got to say, is it scriptural? Is what I'm wanting, is it scriptural? God going to hear me? He said, well, I want this. You know, I just want God to give me $1 million. Well, so do I. But the thing about this, is it scriptural? And where's your buddy basing your faith on? What do you have? Where's the scriptures that you're giving this? I mean, we can take generic ones and stuff, but what is it and what makes you think? And where is faith? Because see, faith begins where the will of God is known. So if you don't know God's will, and his word is his will, so you got to know his word. So you got to get specific on the things that he's desiring or the things that you're looking at. Same thing. He said, if God's telling you, hey, pray, you know, against this. This is what's coming down the pike. This is what's happening. We need to pray against this. We need to pray against some things that are taking place. You know, when you hear stuff, you got to know how to take authority over a word spoken. You got to know how to take authority over the enemy that's coming against. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you say, well, it doesn't matter. God knows my heart. God, I know. But if we say, listen, okay, we want you to go to the grocery store. Go over here to Raley's and we want you to get some groceries. Okay? Cool. You know, if your wife sent you a text that, all right, go to the store and buy groceries. Us guys, okay? Groceries. Walking around the grocery store. Groceries. After about 10, 15 minutes... Actually, most of us, we'd be texting back the minute we got groceries. What groceries? We got to get specific here. We got to get the right kind of this and the right kind of, you know, you get the wrong kind, you're in trouble. Oh, you got the generic kind. That's not right. What'd you do? Right? But if you walk around the grocery store and, say, and the people say, hey, can I help you? Say, well, I'm not, I'm going to get some groceries. Okay, cool. Well, what kind of groceries? I just want some groceries. God, I just want some groceries. Man, they'll start putting cans of beets in there, cans of nasty stuff, all kinds of terrible things, and you'll come out of there with things you can't eat. Sorry, if you like beets, my wife loves beets. Do not like beets. Can, could, well, I do not like beets, okay? Just it's just not a happening thing, okay? Hallelujah. But do you understand? Doesn't that sound that? Well, that's just dumb. Well, why is it so? What are you praying about? I'm just praying. I'm just getting some groceries. Well, how do you know if he answers your prayer? I guess the groceries show up. Or the beets, yeah. That's when I know God does not love me. Because immediately, let's just wind this thing up, and there's a lot of things, and I think I'm probably going to continue this, but reason being is that there's an enemy arrayed against you. God wants us to ask. He wants us to get our prayers answered. He wants us to ask specific things. He wants us to settle in and say, Lord, here am I. I want to see you in my life. I want to see you doing things. I want to see what you have for me. Thank God. And I want to get it from my head to my heart and then get it out of my mouth so that it changes. Amen. I want to get that. I desire that. I'm looking for that because I've got to defeat the enemy. Because he's always going to be trying to bombard me. Amen? And so I want to get your word fixed in my heart. I want to get that. Because I want to know that you love me. Amen. I want to know that you hear and answer my prayer. That I don't have to base it on somebody else's prayer. But that you hear and answer mine. Amen? Because it does something when you know God will answer your prayer. Hallelujah. And you have to fight sometimes. You have to fight sometimes. You have to you'd say, no, what? No, I'm not going to. God, I am going to be specific in some things, but I'm also going to be letting you lead me and guide me and direct me. Amen? Because that's why we're praying for the world. That's why God lays upon our heart things. Because God is looking for people that will pray over nations, that will pray over cities and countries, all kinds of things. Because why? Because God wants to pour out his Spirit. God wants to move. And it seems that God can do nothing for humanity unless somebody asks him. So let's start asking him. I want the prayers of Harvest Bible Church to just come up like an edifice. I want it to be like Cornelius when the angel came and told Cornelius, said, hey, listen, guess what? Your alms, your money, hallelujah, and your prayers have come up as a memorial before God. I want God to say, hey, their money and their prayers have come up as a memorial. There's things happening at Harvest Bible Church. There's things moving at Harvest Bible Church. That God's doing some things supernatural because God wants to do things. He is desiring, and we've got to have a voice. He's got to have us speaking forth what he wants. Amen? I mean, that's the whole purpose, believe it or not, for tongues and interpretation, for prophecy, for things being spoken out, is because it gets God to be able to do things in the earth. And this is my heart. This is my desire. And when you start speaking things that he's putting in you, you begin to, just in one sense, you're speaking words of life to yourself. And you're speaking, saying, I believe this is what God has in store here for what he's doing in my life. I believe that God's directing my steps. I believe that God's ordering my ways. I believe God's opening up doors. I believe that God's meeting and supplying every need that I have. Amen. I believe God's given me favor. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on, I believe God has his hand upon my life. Amen. Because there's a world out there that needs to see and know. And we've not let God move in our lives like we should. Amen. So I don't know about you. I'm excited. I am excited because I'm just saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to start asking. I'm going to start just jumping up here. What are we going to do? You better tell me. Because if you don't, I'm going to be asking for a lot. No, but I got to get specific, but I'll say, Lord, what is it that you need? Amen? I am. I'm taking over authority over the enemy in our state. Taking authority over the principalities and the powers that have tried to cause havoc and different things in different areas and what's taking place. And one of the biggest ones here is because, with Stockton is I'm taking authority over all of the poverty aspect of things and the low incomes and all the low things. No, we're a blessed city. We're a blessed state. We're blessed, and blessings are going to come here. Hallelujah. I've been taking authority over that. God's going to cause not because we need it, but because you need it. Amen? Because God's grace is it. But also been taking authority over sickness, disease, and junk that's been trying to attack, that's coming against the body of Christ, especially. And I pray for you guys always for that. Pray against the enemy that's trying to come against. And I thank God for you. Like I said, thank God that, we had so many people go and visit with Miss Yolanda and pray, and we were all praying and believing God, and God raising. Because you know what, Lord, we're the body of Christ. Amen? We're not going to let the devil win. We're not going to let the devil win. And see, I don't know about you, but I would rather pray and ask for everything and get half. Man, if I got half of what I've asking, woo, come on, Jesus, hallelujah. But I'm not going to stop because of what the Word of God says. So you're just kind of shooting it out to see if you can hit. No. I'm specifically got the Word. I've got my prayer. I'm believing. I'm exercising my faith. I really am. I'm trusting God. I really am. Not going into anything blindly. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter how crazy I look. If God says stop, that's just you. I just stop and don't. Oh, but it's going to look bad on you. That's fine. I just missed it. Praise God. Join the club. We're going to do this. I don't have a problem with saying, nope, oops, wrong. Not good. Let's stop. Let's go. Let's back up. See, you always get nervous because you think, well, I don't want anybody to think I'm not spiritual. We already know that. It's okay. We want you to get more spiritual, okay? That's the goal, okay? That's our heart. No, I love you. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, sometimes we have to just stir them up and let them just relax for a second. Lord, thank you, though. Thank you, Father, for stirring our hearts to ask. Thank you for stirring our hearts to believe you. To believe you. Father, I speak words of life over Harvest Bible Church right now. I do. Your blessing is upon us. Your hand is upon us. You want us to go up to the next level in a sense of what you want us to do is to rise up and be vessels that you can use. You want us to come boldly into the throne room of grace so that we can obtain mercy Hallelujah. And find grace to help in time of need. Thank you that you'll fight our battles with us. Lord, thank you that you're making a way where there seems to be no way. Thank you that all things are possible to him who believes. Father, we're believers, and I thank you that your hand is upon us. Father, let us be lights as everywhere we go. The enemy, he may try to do something to us, but God, you turn around and you make it good. Hallelujah. And we can thank you for your kingdom to be done, your will to be done in our lives and in this place. Father, we're not going to be satisfied until the glory of God covers Stockton and Lodi and all the surrounding areas. We're not going to be satisfied. And when that glory covers the ground and covers the earth here, that means there's not any place you can't go where Jesus isn't being magnified and glorified, that you're hearing God's doing something. God's doing something. God's moving. God's moving. He's moving in our hearts. He's moving in our lives. Hallelujah. He's moving. He's moving. He's moving. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we say move, Lord, move. Lord, use us. Let us speak forth your word. Father, let us speak a word in due season to him that is weary. Father, right now, I thank you and praise you that you're going to raise up and raise us up with a voice. And you're going to know that we're alive and well. And you're going to know, hallelujah, that our prayers and our alms and all of our giving is going to rise up before you as a memorial before you, Father. Lord, we thank you for that. We love you. We praise you. But Father, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and Lord, we're just honored. All the saints are just worshiping you, magnifying you. But Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'm a pastor this morning, and I've spoken to our sheep, sharing with them about their prayer lives. But the Bible says that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. That's the greatest prayer we've ever done. It said, Lord Jesus, save my life. Lord, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and my Savior. We had to declare your Lordship before we could ever be saved. We had to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus, I love you. I believe you've forgiven me of all my sins. And so I take you as my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, you're my Lord. And when we declared that, we were changed from death to life. We got out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of your dear Son. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, what do I mean by that? You may know about him. You may know of him. You may know things all around him. You may even believe in him. But if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, your personal Lord, and ask him to forgive you of your sins, then you're not born again. You can know all about him. But if you truly knew that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you know that. You have peace that passes all understanding. So if you're not and you'd like to, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. You say, well, it just seems so simple. It seems too easy. God made it easy. It's all about faith. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here and you need to do that, if you need to be born again, you need to be saved today. I'm not talking about joining this church. I'm talking about your life eternally. That if you died today, would you make heaven? I mean, and that's a serious no. That's all we can say. If that's you and you'd say, you know what? I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Then just raise your hand real high. Let me pray. That's all. It's simply that. You're here. You're here. You might as well just, you know, hallelujah. You might as well just take, let's just take care of things. Hallelujah. And when I say that, God loves you. I love you. He wants your life, hallelujah, to be so wonderful, so much better than it is. Amen. Anywhere, any place. If you're watching and you see this, God loves you. He does. All it is calling upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved, which is simply believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, lift up your heads. Look up here at me. I love you. God loves you. He loves you so much. He wants you to start asking. And I'm expecting prayers to be answered. Supernatural prayers. God to turn things around. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. We're going to have our prayer team come forward. They'll pray with you some more. If you need agreement on some things, those of you watching, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday. Amen. The rest of you stand up. God bless you. You guys are all dismissed. Be blessed.